Here in America, work is in trouble. We've offshored our manufacturing, sent away good jobs, and lost so much ability to make things. American Giant is a company that's pushing back against this tide. They make high-quality clothing, sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more right here in the USA. Visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com. Promo code STAPLE20.
Rated E for everyone, 10 and up.
This episode is brought to you by our patrons like Carrie Bernhardt, who supported the show on a monthly basis. Join the club and get a new Patreon-only podcast called Stories That Will Never Be on the Show. Sign up today at patreon.com/thatstoryshow.
Hey, I'm James, and you're listening to That Story Show.
Hey! This is That Story Show, people.
Cooking pizza.
I turned into a bat. I flew into this lady's house.
I left her some guano.
Hey, podcast people, this is That Story Show where we're telling hilarious real life stories and inviting you to do the same. It's episode 335, brought to you the week of March 26th, 2020. I'm your host. My name is James, and my good friend is here.
Hey, I'm John, and I don't have gas.
Really? For the first time in your freaking life?
Well, I am talking about liquid propane gas. But,
dang it.
Yeah. I don't have the other kind either, so.
Are you talking about moving into your new house and you don't have gas at your house?
I don't. I don't have gas at my house.
Wow.
And my new place is great, but for some reason, nobody wants to give me gas. I don't understand.
They won't even pass gas to you, huh?
They won't.
They're just keeping it all for themselves.
They won't pass it. They're just keeping their gas to themselves.
That's crazy. Understand. That's crazy. And then you had told me earlier about how somebody broke a fan in your bedroom, and you were wondering who broke the wind in there. So, nice. Yeah.
I don't remember saying that.
I don't remember saying that at all. That sounds original. Hey, we always start with an opening story. This one's called Taekwondo Tooth Fairy. Hey, this is Wayne from Thailand again. So about 2 years ago, my three siblings and I went to a Taekwondo dojo thingy 3 times a week. And by the way, we now have black belts except for the youngest. Ooh. I will read this very carefully then. Anyway, the lessons were 2 hours long, and we had several water breaks in each. Here, I taught myself how to do cartwheels. So, one day, it's like you can hear the doom start to well up in the story. I thought I'd do cartwheels in a crowded room. This sounds like a good idea. Well, one day, we had a break, and I wanted to do a cartwheel. So, I looked around the room, and I saw no one in my path. And then I went for it. What I couldn't see was a 5 or 6 year old girl that was running through my path. When I did the cartwheel, I stumbled and accidentally plowed my shoulder right into the poor girl's mouth. Just bam, right there.
No.
I was apologizing and I felt really bad. She reacted, she reached into her mouth and pulled out a tooth. Yeah, it was one from the bottom of her mouth. So I felt like I was going to die. I told the teacher, and he told the girl's dad, and everything was okay. Yeah, you better be glad, because dad might not have been so cool about it. Trust me, some dads are mean.
Some are very protective.
She thankfully didn't hate me, and when the lesson was over, she smiled at her parents really big to show that the tooth was missing. Thank you guys for the awesome show, Wayne. Well, Wayne, you definitely were the Taekwondo tooth extractor. I don't know if you get the title of tooth fairy.
Nope, because I'm sure he didn't give her any money for that.
And you're so lucky that it was like a tooth that was apparently supposed to come out anyway. But you can't. You gotta watch out.
Hope.
You gotta watch out with those cartwheels, man. I've never actually done one, but I've seen them done. My sisters used to do them all the time, and I don't know much, but what I do know is once you get one started, there's no step two or three. It's one step, and once you start into it, you have to complete it. It goes all the way.
It's a momentum, doesn't it?
Yeah. There's no stopping halfway. And like, oh, and you're on your hands, you know, just up in the air with your legs spread apart. It doesn't work like that. You got to keep going no matter what's zooming across your path. So, you know, look to your right and your left and maybe watch out for the little guys. You know, it's a scary world out there right now, and we don't need anything else threatening our lives. The coronavirus is quite enough, thank you. So
right, we don't need Taekwondo
people prunies. Flipping out. Yeah, just flipping out everywhere. We don't allow that in my house anyway. Anyway, it's time for this. How else could the weekly rewind be about anything else? Obviously, we are hunkered down in our house, right. And
not getting out much these days, huh?
No. We've been to Sam's and we've been to Walmart and to Target, and that's like our big outing, you know, our big life threatening outing. We just go out and just check on things just to see if there's anything out there that we could survive on. The big weekly update is that we didn't have any hamburger, and a friend of ours was at like Costco and he bought us a 10 pound, it's like a big giant hot dog shaped pack of meat.
Yes.
It's a big, giant 10-pound hot dog full of ground chuck.
Ground beef.
Yeah, ground beef.
Ground chuck.
And we're so glad to have it. And it won't even fit in the fridge. Jen had to slice it up and freeze part of it, you know.
Yes.
Immediately. We also managed to get some toilet paper today. Thanks.
Congratulations.
Thanks to my friend David. He did it sneaky-like. He was at Walgreens. And he saw the guy unpacking the boxes, and there was a sign that said you could only get two per customer. So he bought his two and he paid at the back at the pharmacy. And then he went back, he went outside, he waited for a minute. He went back in, got two more. He paid at the front and he brought those to our house and we reimbursed him. So he was looking out for us. So
he technically was two different people because he was buying in proxy for you.
Yes. And, He wasn't hoarding for himself. He was right. He was hoarding for himself and others. So I think we should give him a pass.
Yeah.
And, you know,
desperate times.
Yes. Because we have never been in the right place at the right time. And though we use the toilet paper calculator, have you seen that thing online?
No.
Yes. You can calculate how much toilet paper you have and how long it will last you.
Really?
Yeah. And though we are pretty close, we weren't quote close enough to the end of this debacle to have made it all the way. So it was getting a little sweaty, you know, a little sweaty going on, but we're going to be all right now.
But you made it. You didn't have to resort to old socks or...
Well, yeah, I told I figured Granny might knit us something, you know, crochet us something.
reusable toilet. Because
there's no rule that says that whatever you use has to go in the toilet. You know, we can go, like in Mexico, you wipe and then you throw it in the trash can.
Right.
And so, you know, yeah, you could use socks or crocheted, you know, reusable wipes.
I don't know how I'd feel about that.
I don't either. But, you know, desperate times, as you said.
That's true.
So, anyway, what's going on in your week other than moving?
Oh, man, let me tell you something. It's been an adventure.
Yeah.
So, last Thursday, the reason I couldn't record is because we were physically moving out of the house that we were in for 11 years. And then moving into a new house, which is about, I don't know, it's half the size of the one that we were in.
Wow.
Which, you know, that was our goal. We wanted to downsize. I got a bigger yard, dude. So I'm pretty excited about that.
Oh boy.
But, yeah. It's great. I'm actually going to have a riding lawnmower to cut it. So it's a bigger yard.
Cool. I don't know what I was going to say, but it didn't come out cool. Cool.
I like queet. Queet. Queet's cool. Queet. It's like a queet. It's like tight and cool at the same time.
I don't know what I was saying, but go ahead.
It was an adventure in that we were supposed to have back-to-back closings, right? So we sell our house, and the money that we get from selling our house was immediately going to go into buying this new house. Well, it did. The second closing didn't quite work out.
Oh.
And I'm like, wait a second. What? And so they said, yeah, it could be like 2 weeks. And then one time they said it might be a couple months.
No.
And I'm like, wait a second. So the seller, fortunately for us, the seller, you know, of the house we were buying, it was a flip for them. So it's not like, oh, you know, whatever. And we know him personally. So he's like, yeah, just go ahead and move all your stuff in. It's fine. Go do that. And so we did. And then fortunately the very next day, we got to close in it and it became our house. But the trouble with that was because it was a flip and it is an older house, there's all sorts of plumbing issues that I told the seller, hey, don't worry about that. I'm going to go ahead and just have it all replaced. And I had a plumber lined up that was going to come out first thing as soon as we closed. And because the closing date changed, it pushed everything around.
Man.
So we were without running water until like Sunday. We got a place to wash our hands and a place to go, the toilet. And let me tell you, this is a one bedroom house.
Oh man.
Five people. So it's very interesting. Yeah, that's an adjustment in and of itself. But so we got a toilet, we got a place to wash our hands, and it wasn't until a couple days ago that we finally got shower installed because we ripped out the old one because it was gross. And then after we ripped it out, we realized, oh, the subfloor needs to be replaced under there. So
yeah, that kind of stuff happens.
Yeah.
Goodness. So
it's a big project and I'm sure it will reveal many stories in the future. But for now we are moved in. We're happy. We're still in the process of unpacking and life is chaotic. Spent quite a few nights and days out here at the office. Actually slept here for a few days. The nice thing about our campus is we have a school here, so we've got a gym with lockers and showers and stuff. So we've been using the showers.
We had been using the showers
because, you know, we don't want to stink.
Right, right. Now, did I hear you say this is a one bedroom house?
No, one bathroom.
Oh, okay.
One bathroom.
Oh, I've been sweating that. Like, it's quite an adjustment.
Whoa. No.
You're living in a cabin, John? You know, is there something you need?
Down by the river.
it's tiny living. We're total hipsters. That's what it is. Oh,
yeah. I'm not that brave.
I was worried for your boys, really. It's like, you need your space.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do.
Well, anyway, I'd be amiss if I didn't take a moment and mention NarthexCon. Hopefully, the plan's still to have it on June 20th of this year. So Saturday, June 20th, it's a chance for you to come and visit me and John and our people and each other. And a lot of folks have signed up already. And some people are flying out here and making a whole vacation of it. And so I'm like, man, I hope this thing wraps itself up soon. June's still quite a ways away, but you know, I don't know, but don't fret. Just sign up. That's the only thing. It's free, but you do need to sign up. And shirts cost money. They're about $20 a piece. You're paying what we're paying, basically. But NarthexCon 2020, Saturday, June 19th or 18th, 20th, June 20th. What am I thinking? And it's going to be great. We've got people coming in, like I said, from all over, and I hope you'll make it. I know the plan is for John to be there. I'm to be there. My family will be there. And I asked my brother David if he wouldn't think about coming out. So
that would be
wouldn't that be cool for David to be there?
Yeah. I haven't seen that guy in a long time.
I know. And he hasn't been to St. Louis. So it's like a win-win. He gets to see my family and he would get to be famous for a little while. So, speaking of famous people, awesome. I would like to thank the following patrons for changing and updating their patronage. First of all, to Steffi Trott for $8 a month. She's brand new. Brother Justice went from $8 to $10. Mike Girl went from $4 to $5. Miranda Jones from $4 to $5. Daryl Hafner went from $8 to $10. Drew went from $4 to $5. Trevor Burnt went from $8 to $10. Sarah went from $4 to $5. Lucas Kirk went from $8 to $10. Robert went from $12 to $15. And Mia Allen went from $8 to $10. And I wanted to thank each of those people individually, because what we're trying to do is square up our tiers over there at Patreon. We had some weird tiers, like a $4 tier and a $2 tier and a $12 tier. And that's because we moved from folks giving per episode to going monthly. And now we're trying to get it at 5, 10, 15, and 20. And that way it's a lot easier for people to make a decision. So these folks are upping or raising their giving just a buck or two here and there to help us accomplish that goal. So
they are awesome in my book.
That's right. I told them I would call them out on the show and thank them in person. So there we go. That's what we wanted to do.
Warmly by the hand. Well, no, I guess we can't shake hands anymore.
Yes, we will give you an elbow. We'll bump elbows.
Yeah. Are we even supposed to do that? I don't remember.
I don't know, but that's what happened at a church service I went to. I did go to a church service right before the big lockdown, and there was hardly anybody there. And during the fellowship period where you're supposed to go around and shake hands, they told everybody, just go around and bump elbows. And I didn't do it. I don't even do the shaking hands thing. So I sure as heck fire wasn't going to go around and bump elbows with a bunch of senior citizens who were like, I ain't letting nobody, no devil keep me out of church, you know? So, anyway, we're doing that. let me do some iTunes reviews. We've got three this week. This is brought to you by mypodcastreviews.com. where you can have your podcast reviews from every country emailed right to you. It's pretty awesome.
Beans.
Best clean podcast ever, says Holden. He says, I'm 11 and my mom is restricted stuff on my iPhone. And this has the freedom for me to listen to my kind of humor. Love you guys. Not weirdly, though.
Thanks. I appreciate that. Yeah, Holden.
Thanks for adding that in there, 11-year-old dude.
Not weirdly, though.
Yeah. It reminds me of the episode. I don't even know which one it was, but it was one called Valentine's for Dudes.
Yeah, yeah.
You remember that? And the kid got into sixth grade, and he came on Valentine's Day with a whole bunch of Valentine's cards and started passing them out and started feeling pretty weird because he realized he was giving Valentine's to dudes as well as girls and that nobody else was doing it. And so pretty hilarious.
Valentine's for Dudes.
This one claims you are the number one comedy podcast.
Oh, thank you.
This is one of my favorite podcasts to listen to. Wholesome, family-friendly content. I don't know about that, but I love the interactive community and the amazing hosts. Well, thank you.
I
recommend it to anyone looking for clean comedy. That came to us from Pink Crusader. And then lastly, thanks. The best podcast in the world. Love it. And then there were about a million smiley emojis. And that was from Duck Wannabe. So thank you so much.
I appreciate that.
Oh, man. Goodness gracious. Well, we've got some stories that we want to tell you, and that's what we do here on That Story Show. But first, I have a segment from BetterHelp.com. And is there something that interferes with your happiness? Is there anything preventing you from achieving your goals? Do you struggle with stress, sleeping, relationships, trauma, family conflicts, self-esteem? Some of us do sometimes. And that's where BetterHelp Online Counseling is there for you. You can connect with a personal counselor in a safe and private online setting. You can get help on your own time and at your own pace. They have over 3,000 U.S. licensed therapists across all 50 states, and you can meet via text, chat, phone, or video, often in under 24 hours. It's convenient, professional, affordable, with financial aid available for those who qualify. And best of all, because you're a That Story Show listener, you get 10% off your first month with discount code ThatStoryShow. So why not get started today? Go to BetterHelp.com/ThatStoryShow. Fill out a questionnaire to help them access your needs. Assess your needs. That sounds like a bad word. And
access your needs.
Yeah. And then get matched with a counselor that you'll love. BetterHelp.com/ThatStoryShow. Check them out. I've been using them now for almost 2 months, and it's a great fit. So, awesome. Get out there. And don't not get counseling. If you need somebody to talk to, this is a great way to do it without having to leave the house. And counseling over the internet is becoming a thing anyway. So you might as well jump on that bandwagon.
You are a hipster when it comes to that, aren't you?
I know.
Before it was a thing.
I was into it a whole month before it became a deal. I'll tell you what. Well, right now I would like to mention that we have, where's it at? Oh, here it is. Quiznos.
Quiznos. Quiznos. Where we quiz what you know.
All right. So we have a quiz, and it was sent to us by Ezra. He's 8-year-old from California. He says he loves sharks in our show.
Uh-oh.
So here we go. We have a quiz about sharks.
From an 8-year-old.
All right. Yikes. So we're going to go through it.
This. Okay.
What do they call? What did they call Jaws on the set? Was it 1, Bruce, 2, Meg, or 3, Finn?
Oh man, I'm gonna say Bruce.
Okay, I am also gonna say Bruce.
Okay.
All right. Good try. How fast can a great white shark go while hunting? 20 miles an hour, 15 miles an hour, 10 miles an hour, or up to 25 miles an hour? I'm going to say 25 because I don't know. I have no clue.
I was going to say 25 also because I feel like they can really swim fast.
How long was a megalodon? Shorter than a blue whale, as long as a blue whale, or longer than a blue whale? I'm going to say longer.
I'm going to say as long as.
As long. Okay. Yeah. All right. Number 4, how much bite force does a great white shark have? 1, 300 pounds, 2, 400 pounds, or 3, 500 pounds? That's a hard one. I'm going to say 3.
I was going to say 500 just because like they're super strong.
All right. How much bite force does a megalodon have?
How do they know?
I don't know. 10 tons, 20 tons, 19 tons, or 18 tons? Man, we're getting really specific in there. I'm going to say 20 tons just because I don't know.
10, 20, 18, or 19?
Yeah. This was made by an 8-year-old, so.
10, 20, 18. I'm going to go with 18. What did you say?
I said 20.
20. I'm going to go with 18.
All right. We got it.
Seems random enough.
We got it. What people in the chat room are playing along. That's good. What was the smallest shark? They might be cheating, though. They might be looking up answers and posting them in the chat room.
Maybe I should look.
What was the smallest shark? A, the cookie cutter shark, 2, the leopard shark, or 3, none of the above? Oh, goodness. It's one of those.
The smallest shark?
I'm going to say leopard shark.
I'm going to say none of the above.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. We got you. I got to switch the symbols around here because you're a dollar sign. All right. How many shark species are there? 485, 472, or 498?
I'll take 472 for $200.
I will say 485 as a complete and utter guess. Number eight, what shark is known to be garbage guts?
Garbage guts?
Yeah, what shark is known to be garbage guts? I guess that means they swallow a lot of garbage.
They eat whatever.
Number one, the great white shark. Number two, the tiger shark. Or number three, the bull shark.
Yeah, I was going with great white from memory because of I saw Jaws and I remember them taking a license plate out of it.
So yeah, okay.
That's why I'm saying that.
All right, I'm going to say that too because you said it. I'm copying you because I want to win and you always win. So okay. I'm going to copy you from now on. Number nine. Bye. What is the fastest speed a Mako shark can go? I don't know. That's the answer right there. 60 miles an hour, 66 miles an hour, or 70 miles an hour. I'm voting 60.
I'm going to say 66.
Okay. 66.
Because those are the fast ones. They're like a little bullet, if I remember. Not a little bullet, but they're like bullet-shaped sharks, right. And I think they go really fast.
Okay. And number 10. 70. Number 10 says, how long has the megalodon been extinct? 2.5 million years, 2.6 million years, or 2.7 million years?
Five, six, or seven. I'm going to go with, you want to answer first?
I was going to go with 2.5 because I have no idea.
I was going to say 2.7.
Okay.
All because right. I also have no idea.
And then lastly, what is the rarest shark? Number one, the frilled shark. Number two, the great white shark. Three, the dusky shark. Or four, the pocket shark. I think I used to play the pocket shark. You connected it up to your Nintendo, didn't you? And the game shark. That's what I was thinking of.
Oh, game shark. Yeah. Oh, game shark. What was that?
Yeah. It was a cheat code thing.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
You could plug your controller in through it or something like that.
You would plug your cartridge into Game it, Shark. And then it would go into your Nintendo.
Oh, man. That's bringing back some memories there.
Yeah.
Game Shark. I'm going to go with Pocket Shark is the rare shark because it hides in your pocket.
Okay. I'm going to say the Great White Shark.
The rarest shark?
Yes.
Okay.
Because I'm going off the theory that though they're famous, there's not that many of them. Maybe. I don't know.
Okay.
It's just what I'm guessing. Here we go. Here are the answers. Question number one. What did they call Jaws on set? The answer was Bruce.
Yes.
So we both got one right there. So 1 point per. You keep track, okay?
Okay.
All right. And then question number two, how fast can a great white shark go while hunting? We both said 25, but that was wrong. The answer is 15 miles per hour.
15, huh? Well, I guess that's safe. If I can swim 16 miles an hour, I'll be able to swim that guy.
All right, number three, I can't swim that fast. How long was a megalodon? Shorter than a blue whale, as long as one, or longer? The answer, unfortunately for you, was longer. So I got that one. So
good job, James.
Yeah. Totally guessing. So I can take
2-1 so far.
All the credit goes to me. How much bite force does a great white shark have? I said 300 pounds. You said 500 pounds. But the answer is 400 pounds.
Oh, man.
We were so close. Both of us. All right. Number five, how much bite force does a megalodon have? 10, 20, 19, or 18 tons? You said 18. I said 20, but the answer is 19.
Well, stink.
19 tons. All right. Number six, this is where it might level out again. What was the smallest shark? The cookie cutter shark, the leopard shark, or none of the above? I said the leopard shark. You said none of the above, and you were correct.
Ooh.
So
he didn't give us what the proper the one was. Right?
No,
huh?
No.
We're gonna have to Google it.
Pocket shark, I would guess. But
pocket shark.
Number seven. How many shark species are there? Let me just go down and see. 489. Did any of us guess that? No.
No.
We did not. I guess 485. I was closer than you. So I should get half credit, but
you probably.
I'm smarter than you.
Wheel of Fortune, maybe.
Yeah. What shark is known to be garbage guts? The great white, the tiger, or the bull shark? We both said the great white, and the answer is, oh my gosh, the tiger shark.
What?
The tiger shark. Of course.
Jaws was wrong.
Who could have known that? I should have known that. But
aren't those the ones that, like, on that movie Deep Blue, they were mixed with a hybrid shark, and they were
super smart and
they were dangerous, and they had tiger stripes and stuff.
I think so. And then somebody got eaten.
Yeah.
I bet a lot of people got eaten, actually.
Samuel Jackson was one of them,
yes,
I think.
It was a surprise. It was a surprise. Spoiler alert, everybody.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. What was the fastest speed a Mako shark can go? 60, 66, or 70? The answer was 60 miles an hour, so that means you won.
Yeah. I thought I said 66.
Oh, I got them confused then. Whoops. Hold on. Let me fix it. I put down the wrong symbols. So I said 60. You said 66. I won. So yay, yep, I'm winning. Won. I'm winning. That's the important part here is to take home that I'm winning the shark quiz that I was unprepared to take. I'm still failing, actually, if it was a grade.
Yeah, same.
Just want to point out that we're both failing miserably. So
3 out of whatever, and I've got 2 out of whatever.
Yeah, but we're celebrating it like it's an achievement, but no, we really suck. Number 10, how long has the Megalodon been extinct? You said 2.7. I said 2.5, but the answer was 2.6. Don't you hate the semantics, man? It's just a couple million years there, really.
Ezra made this really, really hard for us.
Yeah, he did. He snuck it in there. He put the truth in, and then he put the lie around the truth, and it was just one little detail changed. All right, I'm really looking forward to this last one. Yes. What was the rarest shark? The frilled, the great white, the dusky, or the pocket shark? And John guessed the pocket shark. And guess what, John?
What?
You are right.
Yay. I got 3 out of 10.
You're the winner.
Only for that question.
Dumb Quiznos.
It's a tie. We both answered 3 of them correctly.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, there's a tie. Okay. I thought you won. I thought.
Nope.
Okay. Well, that's no fun. We're both equally as smart and equally as dumb.
I think we're equally as dumb on that one.
An 8-year-old fed us our lunch. That's what I'm saying. He ate our lunch, actually. He didn't feed it to us. I messed that up bad. You're supposed to eat our lunch. He ate our lunch for breakfast, dadgummit.
I have been schooled, man.
We've been taken to class. And are you smarter than an 8-year-old? The answer is no.
Not when it comes to sharks.
So thank you, shark-loving Ezra. We appreciate the quiz.
Yes.
But now it's time to... Time for listener stories. In case you couldn't translate what I was saying there or interpret, it's called translating when you're writing it down. It's interpreting when it's spoken. So,
oh.
Yeah.
Now you just schooled me. I didn't know that.
Nathan Stryker sends us a story today. He says,
that's a cool name.
Being on stay at home orders means that we've been missing our family's weekly dinner out with my parents.
Aww.
Generally we eat at wherever my mom has a coupon, but occasionally she'll spoil us with something much nicer. One such splurge a few years back took us to an Italian restaurant that presented as fairly posh.
Uh-huh.
The kind of place where the waiter would suddenly and unironically break out in operatic song. Wow. Never had that before. But I will.
Sounds like a macaroni grill.
We went to a place one time, and I don't know that it was fancy or not, but somebody would come out and sing, and then a guy would drop a stack of plates on the ground and break them all.
On purpose?
Yes.
I'd love that job.
I don't know what was going on, but literally every 15 minutes or 20 minutes or so, they would come out and they would sing this brief little ditty, and then he would slam a whole stack of plates into a tub and break them all.
Why?
And then later a belly dancer came out and started dancing around our table. And I told my son not to look because it was inappropriate.
This is real? You really did this?
This is real. I don't remember.
There's not a punchline coming up.
No, that is it, man. That's it. It was the only belly dancer I've ever seen that you would actually want to see do the belly dance. Because usually belly dancers have a bit of a belly, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I've never seen belly dancers. I don't know.
So I was very disturbed by it. And I told my son, I'm like, we're not looking. Okay. She can dance all she wants, but we're going to keep our eyes on the prize here, this food we're eating.
And, look at this delicious meal you're eating.
And pick out the China chips from the plates that are breaking. Somebody will know where what kind of restaurant I ate in, because I don't know. I don't know. I want to say Italian, but the belly dancer's kind of throwing me off. So, yeah. But this actually happened. So
I think that was McDonald's that you.
it was an inner city McDonald's. That's what it was. Just some management issues going on.
Yeah. So, oh man.
Just somebody was really working hard for tips. That's all it was. All right. So anyway, he says the dining area is one open space with wooden beams across the ceiling. While admiring the architecture during our meal, a bit of movement caught my eye. I was trying to focus past the lighting, but I couldn't see what it was before it was gone. A few moments later, I saw my wife's eyes jump to a different spot on the ceiling. This one to my right. I looked at the spot where she was staring and got a good look at our little friend.
Uh-oh.
Knowing my wife is an animal lover, but that others in the restaurant might not be, I attempted to quietly confirm that we both saw the same thing. Unfortunately, before I could subtly whisper, the noise level in the restaurant jumped in a way that told me that everyone else saw it too. My wife, who has never been low-key, enthusiastically said, "Did you see that fuzzy rat running across?" Whoops. The other patron, there goes that star rating. The other patrons started getting louder and louder as they pointed out the unwanted guest, but then the rat slipped, barely keeping itself from falling onto the diners below.
It's awesome.
He's up there doing a trapeze act during this part of the show. It's Ratatouille part two. That's all it is. But
live action.
Yeah. It's coming to a theater near you. Trust me. The restaurant fully erupted after this. A couple of patrons seated directly below the beam moved their whole tables, but at least half the restaurant just simply stood up and walked out. And the manager and servers were running around apologizing to angry customers. And to be honest, I was also looking forward to whatever free stuff we were certainly going to be offered. Meanwhile, my family was happily still eating. Delighted by the human chaos below and the happy rodent scurrying back and forth above. Eventually, the rat disappeared. The most vocal customers were gone, and the staff began checking on the rest of us, offering what I assumed to be large cash payout for our silence. Yeah.
Seriously.
Hey, you saw nothing, or we'll throw plates at you.
Look at this thing. We're going to flash this light, and nothing's going to be different.
Everything's going to be fine. At last, our waiter got to us and cautiously asked how we were doing, and my wife immediately launched into the highest praise of how cute the rat was and how silly the other people were and how much fun she was having. The waiter thanked us and moved to the next table. Well, it ended up being a free meal anyway, but only because my parents paid.
Nice.
A few months later, the restaurant closed for good. No idea why. Yeah, that's a I'd have no idea why. Thanks for the show, as always. Especially thanks for giving such great entertainment when we're all unable to enjoy the company of others. Nathan Stryker from Southern California.
Wow, so, that's a great story.
I'm going to call that one Rat Party. I forgot to name it. Rat Party. Rat Party.
How about Rat Trap? No, that wouldn't work.
I've already named it. It's called Rat Party. So, okay. John, do you have a story for us, sir?
I got one. It's called A Smudgy Scorpion. It comes to us from Richard Blake. Hey, I am Elliot, and I have a story to tell.
Oh, you know what? This is Elliot, and he's a kid, and I didn't put that in right. It's using his father's email.
Oh, okay.
So let me fix that right there. All right, now it's fixed.
All right, I got a great story. It comes to us from Elliot. And he says, hey, I'm Elliot. I have a story to tell. While I was listening to the episode Squishy Scorpion by you guys, we had just finished the scorpion story, and my cat Smudgy unexpectedly stepped on my foot. With the thought of scorpions still fresh in my mind, it made me jump and smack Smudgy's paw. Poor Smudgy jumped back and ran away. I then laughed at myself for how I reacted. I hope you like my story. Love your show. Bye. Smudgy Scorpion. That was a big furry scorpion.
That would be terrible. Well, Elliot, thank you so much for writing into us, and I hope you enjoyed hearing your story on the show.
And I hope your cat's okay.
I hope so too. Have you ever been done that way before?
Oh yes. Like you got roaches in your house, and then something brushes against you, and you smack it really hard, and it was just, you know, the wall.
I remember we raised chickens for years on our property in Yulee, and every now and then a snake would be in there trying to eat an egg. And after that, everything I saw, sticks, water hoses, everything for a good day looked like a snake sneaking up on me. It just scared me to death every time. Terrible thing.
Yep.
We have a voicemail from Jared. I call it out of practice pickup line. So let's listen to this.
Hey, James and John and any other guest host you might happen to have. This is Jared from Anaheim, calling in a story for That Story Show. Recently, I started a new career in cable installation, and I'm close to John and James, your ages. So I'm older than a number of my coworkers. One day I was doing an installation at kind of a hip and trendy condo apartment complex, fancy place, lots of young and affluent folks. Had to get some help from one of my coworkers who is in his like mid-20s and single. And as we were just kind of finishing up at the end of the job and talking outside at our vans, getting ready to leave, a young woman walks by walking her dog, and I just noticed it was a cute little beagle puppy. I to this day, I swear I would not be able to pick out this girl in the lineup. So I trust that because of his reaction, she was an attractive young woman. That being said, the dog, being a dog, loved all the smells that we were bringing with us from, you know, the times where we have to crawl through an attic or through a crawl space or just in a whole bunch of different people's houses, picking up different odors. So the dog was very interested in smelling us. She was getting impatient, just trying to take the dog for a walk and get out of the heat and back inside. And as she walked away and the dog was still trying to come back to us, I said, yeah, dogs really like to smell us. We're in all kinds of people's houses and have all kinds of interesting smells on us. And then I realized that my coworker is just kind of staring at me, dumbfounded, as this girl is just looking oddly at me and trying to pull her dog away. And I then equally socially awkward say, oh, I guess that probably wouldn't be a very good pickup line to say at a bar, would it? And I just started laughing, and he says, no, it wouldn't. I wasn't going to say it, but you said it. And I just said, well, I'm married. I don't care. I don't think about what makes a good pickup line anymore. And the young woman just continues trying to pull her dog away and walk on. Anyway, probably not a very good telling of the story.
He ran out of time.
Wow. So what happened?
There he is. Yeah. He ran out of time. If you call on the voicemail line, which I do not suggest, as you can hear, the voice quality is terrible. It's so much better if you record on your phone and email it to us. But if you do record on our voicemail line, the limit is 3 minutes exactly. So you're going to run out of time at 3 minutes. And luckily he got his story out. So thanks, Jared, for that. I don't know. I'm somewhere in between with that. Like when I see an attractive woman, of course I don't care because I am married and I have made a covenant with my eyes and all of that. But at the same time, I can tell when someone's attractive, you know.
Yeah.
I just don't turn into a fox and my eyes bog out and woo, 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 you know, like the cartoon guys or whatever, some wolf. But at the same time, even though I don't care, I still don't talk to them. So I'm still too nervous. I'm still just like, you know, 18 or 15 inside. And I'm like, I'm not going to talk to you. So.
I have a problem with talking anyways, because I usually when I don't know what to say, I'll ramble and, you know, say stupid stuff. And I have also another problem that if there's somebody that I deem, you know, better than me, which is pretty much everybody, I have a difficult time talking to them and things come out awkwardly and stupid. So that's my life.
No,
so
I can
relate with this guy.
I do okay. I like I said, it doesn't matter to me that they're hot or whatever, but there is somewhere in there, there's still a nervousness. Yeah. Just a
it's introvert in us, isn't it?
I guess so. Maybe so. Maybe so. I still think it's just that it's that inner child that's like, oh, I can't talk to you because you're better looking than me. And so anyway, I don't know. This one's called This Little Light of Mine. It comes to us from Todd Napier. When I was around 10 years old, my uncle asked me to be the candle lighter at his wedding. I was to walk down the aisle with a long candle lighter, walk to the platform, and go to these large candelabras that held about 20 candles and light them. That's a big job.
That's a lot of work.
That's a lot of work. So the candle lighter was one of those long brass poles with a wick on the end. And it ran down the center and could be lengthened and shortened by a little trigger down by the handle. I've seen those.
Yeah, I got to use one of those once.
One thing they had impressed on me, the most important thing, was to make sure that when the wick was lit, that it did not go out. So otherwise, I would have to walk back and the timing of the wedding would be ruined. And I would have to live in embarrassment for eternity.
Oh, poor guy. That's a lot of pressure for a 10-year-old.
No pressure. No pressure at all.
Hey, light all these candles and don't let the flame go out. Okay, kid?
So, not wanting to live with the guilt and shame of having messed up a whole wedding, I dutifully paid attention to the fire. And erring on the side of caution, I kept pushing the wick out further and further as I walked down the aisle to perform this very important task that I had been assigned to do. As I pushed the wick out further and further, this caused the fire to grow longer and longer. And by the time I reached the platform, I had a flame about 6 inches long coming out of the end of the pole. What made my job even... Say what?
You had a flamethrower.
There you go. Just
complete torch.
There's smoke coming off at the whole thing. What made my job even more difficult was that the candles weren't ordinary. They were little teacup candles that were being held inside these little clear glass bowls that were arranged to create a heart shape. So
goodness.
Being short for my age, I had to raise the lighter way over my head to try to position it so I could reach the candles. This caused the 6-inch long fire to become dangerously close to the ivy that had been entwined into the heart for more decorations. Whose idea was this? Tell you
Come
what.
Come on, man.
Oh, some wedding coordinator, no doubt, that's like, this'll be beautiful. It'll be perfect. And we'll let an 8-year-old just get around it with fire. It'll be wonderful. So
poor guy.
I had almost completed my job standing on tiptoe to reach the highest ones, contorting myself to weave in and around the decorations when the wick that had been burning for quite some time and become a little brittle, it hit the side of one of the bowls and broke off. It fell onto the carpet, carrying fire and sparks down with it. I look down in horror as I see the wick burning into the carpet.
No.
Thankfully, I was quick-witted enough to step on the flame and quickly smother it. I went back to light the last two remaining candles without further incident, and I completed my task, and I had not let the fire go out. In fact, I almost created a large one, which would have made the wedding cost a lot more than originally planned.
Mm.
Thanks for all that you do. Love all the shows in the NLCast Nation. Todd Naper. So there you go.
The 10-year-old who saved the day with his quick-witted foot.
And caused the problem. I don't know. Do you blame the 10-year-old or do you blame the person that trusted the 10-year-old? I don't know.
I mean, I would probably let my 10-year-old do that, but man, that's a lot of pressure for a kid.
Well, and then
tell him he's going to ruin the wedding if he does it wrong.
If you haven't seen one of these things, it literally is a brass pole with a wick inside, and it has a little stick coming out that you can pull or push to make the wick smaller or longer. Usually they poke out maybe an inch or so, you know? And there's some sort of fluid, lighter fluid on them or something like that to keep them burning.
It's like a candle. It's like a little tiny wick that's got extra wax on it.
Okay. All right. Maybe it's something like that then. And, but yeah, you're not supposed to stick it out 6 inches. That's for dang sure. It's supposed to be, but they scared him. They scared him into it. He thought he had to do what he had to do. So, you know, when you're 10 years old and you have a job to do, you're a little man, you got to do it, man. You got to get in there and light those candles up. But what a hard job. 20 candles inside bowls. What is that about?
Make the poor guy's life very difficult.
Very stressful. In front of all those people, they're all looking at you anyway. You know, I don't know. All right, we got a voicemail. And it is called The Singing Toilet from Jude and Annie. So listen to that.
Hello, it's me and my best friend Annie. We're recording this for NLCast. I'm Jude and this is
Annie. My name's Annie.
And we are from Eugene, Oregon. And awesome. We are hoping that this will play on the show. We don't know if you guys do voicemails, but I really hope you do. And our story is called Singing Toilet.
They synchronized.
Me and my friend Annie, who's right here, we had a sleepover. And it was, like, dark outside and stuff. And so I asked my friend if she, or I asked Annie, if she wanted to do the Bloody Mary challenge.
You don't know what that
is. It's basically, like, this scary ghost called Bloody Mary, and so she, like, haunts everyone's bathroom and stuff, and if you say her name three times into the mirror, then she'll appear and do bad stuff. If you have a sound effect, do dun-dun-dun! so I secretly knew that our toilet went, when you flushed it. It was just the sound our toilet made. But
that's
my friend, Annie, did not know that our toilet made that sound. So, before we went in, I told her a lie. I told her that our toilet, round in the toilet. And so, basically, if you flush the toilet and hear her sing, she's going to destroy you. So, So we walked in, and I secretly locked the door. And then we started chanting, Bloody Mary, Bloody Mary,
oh, I could never do it.
And no, I never did either.
And right on the cue, it went, oh, Annie slipped out. She practically trampled me to the door, and then it was locked, and it took another second to figure out how to unlock it.
And it felt like time, time stopped. Like, it felt like a really long time.
Time stopped.
And I was recording it, and it was hilarious. And basically, then when she got out, she ran to my mom in tears.
I wasn't actually crying. I was just, like, kind of crying.
Mm-hmm. I wasn't actually crying, just kind of.
You were crying.
I didn't want it.
So you cried, your toilet is evil! It's And then my mom said, no, it's just the sound our toilet makes. My friend and Annie insisted that the toilet was going to destroy us. It took another 20 minutes to convince Annie that our toilet was not going to kill us all. Thanks for listening to our story.
And by the way, we're both middle schoolers.
Yep. And we're homeschooled.
So oh, man.
It's not fun that we're homeschooled.
Yeah.
Oh, see, they ran out of time. They ran out of time. 3 minutes right there. So we'll play this for you both.
Dang it. Move out of the way, stupid.
And we'll play this too.
So why does your son go to school?
Oh, he's homeschooled.
All right, so you got the homeschool and the middle school drama going
on
there.
Double whammy. And we don't really know why it's bad because it cut off. I feel like we have to finish two stories.
I know. Maybe we can get them to record something and send it in. So there's your official, Jude, your invitation to not call in to the show. Record something on your phone. You know you got one. And email us at thatstoryshow@gmail.com. That's the easiest way to do it. So
do it. And that was great, by the way. And that's a terrible trick to play on your friend, but I'm glad that you got it on video and you need to share that too. So the world can enjoy that.
If you're allowed. Yeah.
If you're allowed. Right. Cause you're in middle school and homeschool. So,
all right. Well, that is our show for today. We have run out of time. So I'm going to hit the outro button right there. And do you have a story about seeing a rat pulling a Spider-Man on the ceiling of a restaurant? How about a story about putting your pants on backwards? I don't know. I don't think we got to that one.
We didn't get to it. Teaser. Teaser for next week.
Yeah. Do you have one about a singing toilet? I don't know. But whatever you have, send, whether it's text or email or audio, email that stuff to thatstoryshow@gmail.com. And if we use your story, we owe you a sticker. So email us your address. Thatstoryshow.com is the website. Review us on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher or wherever you listen to us at. And thanks to our patrons for your support, with special thanks to our producers, James Spangler, Jennifer Kennison, Eric Kube, Dave O'Keefe, Janu Striespek, and Carrie Wright. Join the club and get more from your favorite podcast today at patreon.com/thatstoryshow. And remember, when something weird, annoying, embarrassing, gross, or painful happens to you, don't get distressed, don't get depressed, just think, hey, this belongs on That Story Show. We'll see you guys next time. And yes, John, you heard me right. We have a brand new podcast started just for patrons called This Story Will Never Make It on the Show. And it's where we read the stories we can't read on the show for one reason or another. So we're actually going to record it right after this. So, thanks for another awesome show, John. Appreciate you.
Thanks, James.
See you next time.
Bye.
This country was built on a distinctly American work ethic. But today, work is in trouble. We've outsourced most of our manufacturing to other countries. And with that, we sent away good jobs and diminished our capability to make things. American Giant is a clothing company that's pushing back against this tide. They make a variety of high-quality clothing and activewear, like sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more. All made right here in the USA. From growing the cotton to adding the final touches. So when you buy American Giant, you create jobs for seamsters, cutters, and factory workers in towns and cities across the United States. And it's about more than an income. Jobs bring pride, purpose. They stitch people together. If all that sounds good to you, visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with promo code STAPLE20.